Theatre Royal. The very name summons up something of grandeur and eloquence, and it was. Hosted by Laurence Olivier, these big-name productions also included the creme de la creme of acting talent, from John Gielgud, Ralph Richardson and Orson Welles, to Trevor Howard, Michael Redgrave and Olivier himself. They were based on works by the world's leading authors, among them Charles Dickens, Henry James, Oscar Wilde and Anton Chekhov. These are but a few of whose company we shall be keeping as we raise the curtain on our first instalment of theatrical history.
The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribes Sir Laurence Olivier, your host, in Theatre Royal.
This is Laurence Olivier. My guest this week is an actor who will be familiar to you through films such as Goodbye, Mr. Chips, The Citadel, The Count of Monte Cristo, The Ghost Goes West, The Winslow Boy, The Magic Box, and many more. His name, needless to say, is Robert Donat. He has chosen a story by Robert Louis Stevenson, and it gives me particular pleasure to tell you that you will hear with him in this play an actress who it was my own good fortune to have with me in the role of Catherine in my film of Shakespeare's Henry V. I should perhaps remind you that while we all know her as Renée Acheson, she is also Mrs. Robert Donat. Here, then, is Robert Donat in the role of Denis de Beaulieu, with Renée Acheson as Blanche de Maletroit in Robert Louis Stevenson's story, The Sieur de Maletroit's Doll.
It happened in 1429. France was still under arms, for Burgundy had not yet captured our Joan of Arc, and the English had not yet burned her. I was a younger man, more headstrong, and I fought for France. It was September, and I had ridden into Chateau Landon under a safe conduct, and I had been to dine with a friend.
It's been like old times seeing you again, Dennis.
Well, I couldn't pass so near the town and not look in on an old friend.
And you really must go.
Oh, it's after midnight, and I have to make an early start in the morning.
Well, two of my men will take you back to the inn, then.
No nonsense. It's only 5 minutes' walk.
But the town's full of soldiers, an English garrison, and three companies of Burgundians.
Well, what of it? I'm frightened of neither of them.
The streets are not safe. Suppose you were challenged.
No, I have my safe conduct.
Even so, I still think it better.
No, there is no need. I shall be up at the inn before they can find me in the dark. Good night, Pierre. I shall be back with you in a couple of weeks.
Well, good night, then. But be careful. The town's alive with soldiers.
Au revoir, Pierre. It was a moonless night and the streets were darker than a dungeon. They wound their way among the sleeping houses, many of them so narrow that I could touch both walls at once. I had only a general sense of direction to go by. I knew that my inn lay somewhere beside the church and that the way to it was uphill. When the lane I was following turned to the left and began to lead sharply downward, I knew that I'd missed my way. But I still went on in hopes of a bit more light. And at last, I found myself up against a high stone wall. The lane had come to a dead end. There was nothing to do but turn back. Then, suddenly, I heard them coming.
Wine, Corporal, wine!
Soldiers, coming this way. I can't go back. If they come down here, I shall... Oh, confound this dark.
Hey. Halt! Who goes there? Qui va là?
Quick, where the devil was that doorway? Here we are, in here.
Who goes there?
I can't get out, it's a dead end. Bring the torches.
Burgundians. Well, if they want to fight with my back against this door. It's queer. The door's open. All right, then. Slip inside. I had slipped inside the door and partly closed it behind me to conceal myself. Nothing was farther than my thoughts than to close it altogether. But for some inextricable reason, perhaps by a spring or a weight, the ponderous mass of oak whipped itself out of my fingers and clanked to with a formidable rumble and a noise like the falling of an automatic bar.